Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycast.
For hundreds of years, anthropologists have studied the social relationships of human beings. And none have been more confounding than what they call the Different Strokes Effect. Meet Jade Gulliver, a charmingly low-maintenance, amicable sci-fi fan and avid podcaster. And David Lim, a top model-strutting, goldfish-loving, walking jukebox. So, can you handle the difference? Get ready for Different Strokes.
Cause it takes different strokes to move the world. Yes, it does. It takes different strokes to move the world.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. At the top of the show, we played the drums, Money.
Now, Jade, I have to say, I've been thinking a lot about being in my 20s in the last few days. And there's good reason for it, Jade.
Midlife crisis.
Well, I'm not sure if I can even say like quarter of a century crisis because I am turning 24 next week. So it's not quite quarter of a century.
Yeah.
If my maths serves me right.
Yeah.
But Jade, I've been thinking a lot about being in my 20s because I feel like I'm at this point right now where I don't know, I'm not sure anymore. I'm just not sure. Is this a common feeling to be feeling while you're approaching 24, Jade?
Well, let me like go back in a time machine and try and put myself in
Machine. Y'all understand how old Jade is. I mean, the voice is deceiving because the other day I went out to Yum Cha with Mum.
Yeah.
And she was just like, I just can't place Jade and her voice. She sounds like such a sweetie pie.
What?
She said, you know, you sound like such a young sweetie pie. I'm like, Mum, Jade is a 30-something dinosaur.
I'm coming up to turning 31, Dave. So, you know, I'm pretty youthful in terms of my approach to the world.
Of course.
But at the same time, you know, I do kind of at times when I hang with my 20-somethings friends, I do feel a bit left out.
Yeah, but
The angst of
being in your 20s. Because we often talk about the angst of being
a teenager.
And, you know, a few weeks ago we talked about Daria and how that reflected it. This week there's a brand new TV show that started called 20-something. It's on ABC 2. And I feel that that is talking about angst that I can definitely relate to now in my 20s, you know, being directionless, painfully single and all those kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So on tonight's show, I feel like we're going to be revisiting a lot of things that are very close to 20-somethings.
Yeah.
We're going to actually check out a dating site called Badoo right after this. Now that to me, in the however many years I've been doing online dating, that is the worst, the worst website I've ever been to. So we're going to talk about Badoo later.
I was hoping it would be an uplifting experience, but it obviously has not been.
You'd hope because, you know, turning 24 next week has already, you know, popped up all these questions in my mind. And after this dating site experience, mind you, ladies and gentlemen, the dating site told me off. I got served.
Don't give it away, Dave.
Seriously, I got served a bitch please by, you know, the dating site's pop-up message.
And look, Dave likes to serve bitch pleases out to the wider community, but when he gets one back, he doesn't know how to respond.
I don't know. It's just not fair. So we'll be talking about 20-something, the brand new TV show that is actually started this week. So we'll have a review of that. The first episode's already up online.
Mm-hmm.
You and I have seen it, Jade.
Yep.
So we'll reflect on it. We'll talk about our first impressions later in the show. But also, speaking of being in your 20s, she is 21 and she has the number one single here in Australia right now with Gotye.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, of course, talking about Kiwi indie pop sensation Kimbra. She and I caught up with a chat earlier this week to talk about her new album, Vows. So you get to hear a snippet of the chat later as well.
Yep.
Talk about, like, being an overachiever.
Yeah.
Look at her.
There's always overachievers.
They just make me love my life.
Welcome to Different Strokes Online. Log in to hear Jade and Dave's perspectives on online media.
The internet should not be used as a high-tech babysitter. We need to make sure that when our kids surf the web, they don't drown.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, we've had a text already come in from Andrew in Kew, and he says, I'm almost 26 and I started my master's so I can achieve it before turning 30. Does that count? Well, yes, Andrew, it does. He also adds that he tells his friends that he's 22.
Andrew, if you can get away with telling your friends you're 22, girl, work it.
Yep.
Work it.
Well, see, people never think that I'm actually 30, so...
Well, like my mum who hear your voice think that you're younger than me.
I'm happy to take it.
Take that compliment. Yep. Yeah, most definitely.
Why get offended when you get asked for ID? It's ridiculous.
No, you're supposed to pretend like you're offended.
Yeah.
So, oh, my God, I'm clearly not 18 anymore. And the security guy might think, well, that's not what I meant.
Yeah. And then we've had another text from Anthony who says, hi, guys, I'm 27 and a long-term single. I hope to meet a decent guy by 30. Dave.
Oh, you're melting. Anthony, look what you've done. Jade's now a blubbering mess.
Yeah.
That's very sweet, Anthony. And I hope to meet a decent guy by the time I'm 30 as well. But my philosophy is that, you know, nothing's forever. So I hope to meet wonderful men throughout my life.
Mm-hmm.
That might just have made my dateability extremely low. Yeah. My stocks have dropped.
Everyone wants to believe that you're there forever, Dave. It's not like a one.
Oh, let's be real. Come on. Let's be real. Forever is a very long time, girl.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing with Badoo is that, and seeing as Jay didn't want to hold my hand through this, I had to be.
I helped you cruise for men.
Well, we had a moment before we came on air, ladies and gentlemen, where Jade and I were cruising for men on Badoo. And let me tell you, it is more vicious than what you hear on X Factor. The comments, the judges' comments, it slays. Jade is mean.
I'm not mean. I'm just picky.
In terms of why I actually called it out before to be the worst dating site I've come across, I have a few good reasons. And it's not to do with the amount of talent or the lack of. It's actually a lot to do with the functionality. You know, you can't wink or you can't message someone. There's just the chat function. So I didn't like that. And Jade, get this. As I mentioned before, the website actually told me off.
Yes.
I've never been told off by a dating website before. You know, it had a pop-up message. Let me just explain the situation, you guys. There is a function on Badoo called Encounters. And what it does is, this is where it gets a bit chat roulette-y. Random pictures of men in your city or area will pop up on your screen, and you will get to express your desire to meet them by voting either yes, no, or maybe.
Yes.
Me, not being overly picky, because I don't believe I'm that type of person, but me, you know, being very quick with my responses, if I don't like what I see, I'm going to say no.
Mm-hmm.
And if it so happens to be 15 to 20 no's, guess what?
Bad luck.
Badoo does not like it.
Mm-hmm.
Badoo will not have any of that.
They're like, are you sure? You can't.
Guess what the message I got was? So I've clicked no too many times on Encounters, and then this pops up in this little cloud on the page. It says, do you really not like anyone you've been shown? Look closely, or you might just miss a great chance to meet.
See, the problem is you, Dave. It's not the site, and it's not the people on the site. The problem is you.
How dare you? Talk to me in that tone. I'm clutching my pearls and everything right now. That's it. I'm logging off.
You say that it's about pop artist with character.
Pop artist with character.
Forget what you've heard. I do listen to Strummy Lala music, as I like to call it.
Get ready for a Different Strokes take on music.
You're listening to Different Strokes on Joy 94.9, and with me here today on the line, we've got Kimbra. How are you doing?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
Very good. Now, first of all, I want to say congratulations for your shared number one single with Gotye.
Thank you.
It's been number one for a month, somebody that I used to know.
It's crazy, isn't it?
I read that 2 weeks ago, the song registered the highest weekly sales in Australia since Christmas 2004.
Wow.
So, I mean, surely you're getting a decent share of the profits.
Well, I didn't write any of the songs, unfortunately, not in that respect. But, yeah, I mean, you know, it's been just such an exciting opportunity for me to be a part of it, and especially perfect timing with my album now dropping. I think it's really, you know, bringing attention to my own music, which is awesome.
Now, a lot of people are kind of wondering, you know, what's the nature of your relationship? Are you both dating or have dated?
Yeah, we're both dating. We both have relationships. So, you know, it's always a little bit interesting going into a scenario where you both have to be, like, naked somewhat in the video clip. That's really interesting. But, you know, I think both me and Molly are quite focused on the outcome, and we knew we were really excited to make the video and how beautiful it was going to look. So,
just to confirm, you're both in a relationship but not with each other?
No.
I mean, it's so awkward. I mean, I thought about it. I looked at the video and I thought, would I get naked with a friend? Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. I guess it is art, you know what I mean? You're getting painted, and I think because we both knew what a beautiful concept it was, this idea of actually showing visually someone being drawn out of your world, you know, I think it kind of made it a lot easier. You were focused on just getting the job done and not getting too hung up about it being, you know, nudity or anything. So, it's art, man.
Now, for the album, you ended up with 11 songs on Vows.
Yeah.
But how many did you actually record throughout the whole process?
Oh, man, there were just, you know, so many. I mean, obviously, there would have been, like, 30, 40 that I would have done here at home in preparation for the album, and then maybe in studio we would have got up to about 15. But, you know, I think it became very clear towards the end of the process which ones were standing out and which ones really had to be on the album.
Now, you've worked with Francois Teta and urban producer M'Phazis.
Yeah.
Do you think their production styles complement each other in a way?
Yeah, I mean, they're very different, you know. Francois was kind of from this indie pop background and very cinematic because he'd done a lot of soundtrack work, whereas M'Phazis was much more on the R&B side. Not just hip-hop work, he'd done a lot of kind of soul and Motown stuff as well. And I think it's all about diversity and taking risks, you know, and I wanted to, I guess, use two different producers that would bring out different sides of what I do and what I like to explore. So I think I am glad that I had two perspectives on the album to showcase different sides of the music.
I heard somewhere that you used an asthma pump for sound effects in your song.
We got pretty crazy in the studio at times, you know. I think we just wanted to really experiment with different sounds, and I'd bring along my handbag and Frank would just sometimes ask me, you know, what have you got in there? I'd pull out my aspirin inhaler or anything, you know, makeup, and kind of would open and close the lid of the makeup or, you know, twist something, and it would just have an interesting sound. And we thought, well, you know, we're here in this beautiful studio, why don't we see if we can come up with something unique?
First of all, it's very brave of him to ask a woman to bear the contents of a bag.
Oh yeah. He doesn't hold back at all, you know. I think that's why we made some really special stuff together, because there was everything was on the line, you know, everything was out on the table.
So is it kind of for us to figure out which track and which bit has the asthma pump, or can you tell us?
I know that it was in the session for Settle Down that we were working on that. I'm not sure if it made it into the final mix. I mean, I don't know. Frank is interesting like that. He'll, you know, have lots of interesting sounds kind of hidden in the mix, and maybe on the third and fourth time you can pick up on them.
You did mention before that Frank has a background in making kind of cinematic music and soundtracks and so forth. I mean, I know you to be a rather visual person, so I have to ask, if you could pick a film director to feature one of your songs in a movie, who would you go with?
Ooh, that is tricky. there's this film that Lars von Trier made with Dior called Dancer in the Dark, which I think is incredible.
Mm.
Imagine working with a film director like that would be pretty amazing. I'm also a big fan of Michel Gondry. It's hard, isn't it? There's a lot of amazing film directors out there.
And I heard that the current single, Good Intent, was on Underbelly, the recent series. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. It was. Someone told me that it was featured on the debut of the new series.
Do you watch Underbelly? Are you much of a TV watcher yourself?
No, I'm not a huge TV watcher. I haven't seen all that much of it, but I've heard good things, so I should probably get on to the 1930s series that they're running right now, huh?
Now, you're going on tour starting, I believe, this week in Melbourne.
That's right. Yeah, Friday night at the Forum. I'm so nervous.
Well, how can you be nervous? You've been performing this, you know, this collection of songs for so long.
The Forum is such an iconic little venue for Melbourne, you know. And it's not little. It's, 1,500. So it's exciting, though.
I heard that you're actually planning to launch your album in America next year.
Yeah, that's the plan, yeah.
Yeah, so what are your thoughts on that, going over to a new territory?
Yeah, pretty full on, because I guess the natural thing once you release an album in the States is to tour it extensively, and that's quite a different, you know, lifestyle. I mean, living out of a suitcase and being in America for long periods of time. But, you know, I feel like that is the next step, and it's a really exciting, you know, opportunity to share it with such a big market, you know. It's I feel pretty blessed to be in this position, but yeah, you know, I'll miss Melbourne because I love this place, you know, and I'm hoping to still spend as much time here as I can.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. That was our chat with Kimbra.
Excellent. So her new album Vows is of course in stores now and online, so make sure you guys go get it. Coming up next, we're going to talk about 20 something.
Mm-hmm.
This brand new TV show that maybe isn't brand new for all of you who watch Channel 31, but it's the mainstream makeover version.
Mm-hmm.
So can we say, what, 20-something version 2.0?
Yeah. Oh, with money.
Oh, with money. Cashed up 20-something. Hey.
Okay, so Dave, you must feel so lucky to go and watch these shows that you would never have thought to watch ever before.
Look, I always go on the personal recommendation of a friend when it comes to TV shows because I'm quite loyal with the series that I watch.
Tune in for a Different Strokes take on television.
This is Different Strokes on Joy 94.9 with Jade and Dave. Dave, we have had multiple texts, emails, tweets, whatevers.
A lot of people in their 20s are feeling what we're saying.
Philip from Ivanhoe. Dave, he has plenty of advice for you. He says, David, you are 24 and gay. It will be a decade before you are mature enough to have a meaningful relationship. Believe me, just have fun, build your career, save as much money as you can, and invest it and move out of home before you're 27 if you haven't already. That's perfect advice.
That's very sage advice. I feel that's maybe just not for me only, for all of you out there who are in that situation.
I think Philip and I could be friends.
Both of you should have like a counselling centre talk show.
We could have a talk show, Jade and Philip. Kyle says, I want to pay off my debt. It ain't going to happen though.
Oh, you got to believe.
Yeah.
You got to believe and spend less.
We also had a tweet from Andrew who says, I am also perpetually single like Anthony. Maybe I can meet a great guy before I turn 30 as well. And our friend, that boy James, he has said that he loved 20-something when it was on Channel 31 and last night episode was still gold and he wishes that Jess Harris was his friend.
Now, this is very interesting because from all the responses that I've heard of 20-something, everyone is talking about the character that Jess Harris plays, which I think, I mean, could be loosely based on herself.
Yeah, could be.
Character's also called Jess.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about 20-something version 2.0, as I want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
The mainstream debut happened, what, yesterday?
It was last night on ABC 2, yeah.
Yeah, excellent. So we've all had a look at the episode, you and I, Jade, and it's interesting because of all the responses, you know, some people aren't sold on Jess, the protagonist, because they are saying that she is not likable.
I can see why people would think that or feel that, because she's very much got a cringe factor to her because she's very abrasive.
I don't think it's a cringe factor, though. For me, and here's the situation that I want to address first up. People that say that they can't bond with the series because they don't find the protagonist likable, that's great. I understand where you're coming from. It's very essential for sitcoms to have characters that you want to gravitate towards, but there's something very relatable and very real about Jess's character that I just feel I don't have to like you. I just have to know that you are someone that I'm likely to hang out with. She's bitchy, she's brash, she's judgmental, she's every queen you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the good thing is, like, between her, Jess, and Josh, who is her best friend, I think you get a balance, right? So, and that when you've got them together as that balance, it feels fine. But it's become quite common in TV shows now to have a protagonist that isn't exactly, you know, the most nice, you know, kind of
we don't need another Rachel.
No, it's not, you know, and you can look at shows like The Office that do that, like, you know, their main character is just completely unlikable when you really think about it, but you find aspects of their personality to like, and they're there for a reason, and they're telling a story. And Dave, it's interesting that you say it's very real. I like, my initial impression is that it was very hyper real and raw in terms of, you know, obviously I'm not 20 anymore, in my 20s anymore, but I could kind of put myself back in that place where you know, I just wanted everything to happen like right now. And I see it in people, you know, who are friends of mine who are in their 20s, that there is this common mentality or feel about what you've got to achieve. It's like you have to achieve everything right this instant, and if you haven't, you've failed.
That's one thing that really drew me to the series as well, because with 20 something I felt like Jess's character in particular highlighted a lot of angst that I'm feeling myself right now. I mean, we're talking about, you know, we saw in a situation where she runs into like an old high school friend.
Mm-hmm.
Old high school friend is, you know, in corporate gear, you know, looking like she's something something at a firm.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Jess is in what, flannies or something? Mm-hmm. I don't know. She was hanging at the pub. And then she, you know, that moment where she felt the need to sort of say, oh yeah, I have an office job too, you know, just to make something up, knowing that she damn well quit her waitressing job that day. I feel that, you know, as people in your 20s, you know, we're always going to know somebody from high school, whether by Facebook or, you know, by word of mouth. We know somebody from high school is achieving something.
Mm-hmm.
And we always kind of get very reflective.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, I've often said that I read somewhere that you don't actually achieve, most people aren't actually happy with everything they've achieved until they're in their 40s. So it's quite interesting that, you know, we're so driven, like once you finish high school and you get through uni, you're just like, okay, well, now I'm going to work. And I'm going to, you know, this is what my dream job is, and I'm going to do it. And if I don't do it, and if I don't have all of these things, but we're always so concentrated on what we don't have,
and rather than what we do have. The series is looking great, though. It's looking relatable because here we are in Melbourne, you know, and it's real acting for me.
Yes.
It's real acting. The characters are great. So,
you know, also, Dave, like the thing that I really like about this show is, again, it's another good example of stories that are being told that are relatable to people who are younger. Like, I just feel like so much television that's made in Australia is just so focused on, you know, families or 20, you know, or, you know, you've already settled down with your kids, that kind of it's not about young people. The young people stuff is always reality, and you know how I feel about reality.
No, reality TV is not reality for us. So now that we've got, you know, you talked about Slide a few weeks ago on Fox 8. We've got, you know, Slide coming. We've got 20-something. It's maybe a little older, know, up the range. So I feel that Australian teens, Australian youth, we now have a voice that's being spoken through on TV. So it'll be interesting to see how both series happen, because they're only just getting off their feet now.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.